Dear graduate, congratulations, you made it. It's time to celebrate all the hard work that led to this joyful occasion. The road to graduation is a long, steep climb, so take a moment at the summit to be proud of your accomplishments. Whether you know exactly where you're heading or feel a bit lost, everyone has this in common. You're all in for big surprises. At my college graduation, I never would have predicted that I'd wind up working in technology. I had given up being a serious math student in ninth grade when I attended a math competition, noticed that there were no other girls, and decided that math was for boys. Yep, pretty much the opposite of leaning in. Also, I graduated in June 1991, 2 months before the birth of the World Wide Web. It's shocking, but I made it through college with zero internet. No cell phones with cameras either, which, given that I wore leg warmers and headbands, is a blessing. There's no question that the world moves faster today. This means that grabbing opportunities is more important than ever. And I don't have to tell you that you are entering a struggling economy. So along with all the excitement, most of you will also feel some uncertainty and fear. Graduating is one of life's trickier transitions. School offers clear structure and expectations, while the real world is harder to navigate. Your community is about to scatter. Not all the skills you've acquired will transfer. As you start your adult life, you will wonder if you're making the right choices. You may also wish you had more choices. The embarrassing truth is that I left college more concerned about my personal life than my professional life. My parents married young and repeatedly warned me that the good ones got snatched up in college. I believed them and even taped a poster to my dorm room wall of a frog sitting in the middle of a frilly four-poster bed with a caption that read, "You have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince." I had fun with a few frogs and, in retrospect, am amazed that anyone was willing to kiss me under that ridiculous poster. But I graduated princeless, and frogless for that matter, which left me worried about my future. Like you, I entered the workforce during a recession. Even my friends who had jobs were nervous. I was nervous too. It took me a long time to find my way into an industry I love. It took me a longer time to find the right partner. It took me even longer to find my voice. When I graduated, I believed that the feminists who came before me had done the hard work of demanding equality, and now it was ours for the taking. In my early jobs, my peers were a balanced mix of men and women. But with each passing year, there were fewer and fewer women in the room until I was often the only one. Slowly and sadly, it dawned on me that the promise of equality is not the same as achieving equality. While we have far more opportunity than our mothers and grandmothers, there are still biases that work against us. It can be painful to acknowledge that our experience as individuals is inescapably linked to our gender. We long for a true meritocracy, where we are judged on our abilities alone. But the world has a way of attaching the word female to our achievements. Female surgeon, female director, female marathoner, female senator. Very few people, women or men, sail through their professional lives without hurdles and setbacks. But women face additional challenges, including blatant and subtle discrimination, sexual harassment, and a lack of sensible public and workforce policies. Women of color face even greater barriers. I say this not to discourage you, but to prepare you. Until we, and others, are aware of these biases, we cannot change them. While this book doesn't have all the answers, it does explore many of the issues that I wish I'd understood better when I graduated. As you start your career, you should be aware that men are often promoted based on potential, while women are promoted on past performance. You should also be aware that when men are successful, they are often better liked by both men and women. But when women are successful, they are liked less. I have asked audiences around the world to raise their hands if they've been told they were too aggressive at work. Time and again, a small fraction of men raise their hands, while a great majority of women shoot a hand into the air. And sometimes two. You should also be aware of the internal barriers that we often impose on ourselves. Too many women sit on the side of the room when they should be sitting at the table. Too many women lower their voices when they should be speaking up. This is not our fault. We internalize messages that say it's wrong for us to be outspoken, aggressive, and as powerful as, or even more powerful than, men. In response, we alter our actions. A study by two Princeton researchers asked college students to compete in a video game in which players dropped bombs on opponents. When the students believed they were being monitored, the men dropped more bombs than the women. When the students believed no one was watching, the women dropped significantly more bombs than the men. We hold ourselves back not just out of fear of seeming too aggressive, but also by underestimating our abilities. Ask a woman to explain why she's successful, and she'll credit luck, hard work, and help from others. Ask a man the same question, and he's likely to explain, or at least think, "Come on, I'm awesome.